morning. Wow, it's great to be here. I had a brutal week. Yeah, you want me to tell you about it? Nah, you don't need to hear my tale of woe, but it was rough. I had one good day in Charlotte with some great friends that were super encouraging, but the rest of it was, oh man, it was just a dog's breakfast. And by the time I got to Friday, you know, I was just like, God, just get me to Saturday. Just get me to some time with you, and then get me to Sunday so that we could be together, so that we could take communion. Like, this is one of my favorite things. I love communion. Rhonda and I, we take it, you know, I can't even count the number of times where we missed. If we're on vacation and we're away from a group, we still take communion together. We take it every Sunday. Sometimes, I'll tell you a secret, it's not a secret anymore, we take it even when we're not supposed to. So there's some evidence that the early church, that Christians just took communion every time they got together. So this is just an amazing time, really awesome time for us to be together. So I was talking with my son Xander last night. He says hi to you all. A lot of you all know him. And I was thinking this week, I was going through some scriptures, and made me think of this time when we went to pick him up in India. He's 10 years old, and Rhonda and I were going into the hotel. And the doorman at the hotel, it was a nice hotel, and greeted me and said, Namaste. And I was like, oh, hi. I mean, and then I asked him, I said, what does that mean? And he said, it means my spirit greets your spirit. I was like, wow, I'm at a major greeting deficit, because all I got is howdy or what's up, or they got my spirit greets your spirit. I was like, wow, that's fancy, right? Like, I was definitely out-greeted by the doorman. But in thinking of that, I was reading through some scriptures this week. And this week for Jews is the most holy week, right? And so last week started with Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And then the 10 days are called the Days of Awe. And then it'll culminate with Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. So I was thinking about this with the Day of Atonement. So let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus. I know that's hardcore, right? We're going right for Leviticus this morning. That's super scary. And let's talk about this, because I thought it was really interesting to see, and you'll see where I'm going with this spirit greeting spirit, because what triggered that idea for me as I was studying this week. Just a little bit of background. There's this time that they're referencing is when they'd opened the temple or the tabernacle. It wasn't quite a temple yet. It was more of a temporary structure called tabernacle or the Mishkan. And in Leviticus 16, verse 1, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place, behind the curtain, in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover.'" So here's this really important instruction, and it's kind of important to follow the instructions, because Aaron's sons had just died. They approached God in a way that wasn't really appropriate. And I think that's instructive for us a little bit, right? That, you know, God is not our buddy, you know. So there's a lot of great names for God. God's our Father. God's our Provider. God's our Creator. God's our Protector. God's our Healer. But I never saw God's our buddy. So there does need to be a little bit of formality. Now, Rhonda busted on me this morning a little bit because I am wearing my fishing shirt. And she said, you know, you can talk about informality or formality. You're wearing a fishing shirt. And I was like, okay, baby, fisher of men, fisher of men. That's how that works, right? Fisher of men. So here's this amazing thing that where God is going to be in a cloud before the people, or before Aaron. So the way this works is Aaron can only go into the temple or into the Holy of Holies one time a year. For the sins of the people. And there's a lot of instructions around this. You know, there's the scapegoat where he puts his hands on the goat's head to take on the sins of the people and release them. A lot of foreshadowing of Christ in that. But the way it's set up is the tent of meeting was about 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. By our standards today, not a glorious building at all. And the first 30 by 15 feet would have incense altar, would have a menorah, would have a bowl with some bread, and then some of the blood that they would need for the sacrifice they would bring in. They didn't actually kill the animals in there. They would bring the blood in there. Interesting that it has blood and bread in there. But anyway, that's a different lesson, different day. So beyond that part was a 15 by 15 foot part, which that the first place was the holy place, and then the holy of holy places. And in that was the ark. And in the ark was what? What was in there? The tablets of the Ten Commandments, right? Aaron's staff and the tablets of the Ten Commandments. So it's really interesting. This is for free. So there's two angels on each side of the ark. And the angels were facing each other with their arms open, right? And so here's this ark with two angels with their arms open. And the presence of God in the form of a smoke or in the form of a cloud sitting there on top of the cover of atonement. So, you know, I thought, where else do we see two angels or more than one angel in the Bible before? And my mind immediately went back to the garden, right? So where were the angels? They were guarding the east gate so people couldn't get back to the tree of life, right? So this is kind of crazy. There's two angels here. And they're actually not with flaming swords like the ones guarding the gate, but they're actually with their arms open welcoming. And what's in the ark? The word of God. So two angels welcoming us back to the tree of life. So think about that one. We'll think about that. We'll have a quiet time on that one. Let me read this next scripture in Leviticus, because I think this is the part that was kind of blowing my mind a little bit. Thanks. So in verse 12 and 13, it says, this is Aaron. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law so that he will not die. So think of this. You got God sitting on the mercy seat between the two angels in a cloud in smoke. And then you've got Aaron coming in with smoke. And so you have the divine and the eternal mingling with the smoke from Aaron and from the people. So I think, to me, this is like a beautiful image of the mixture of the divine and the human, the perfect and the imperfect. And when I would think about that, it's like, wow, that kind of, in a weird way, reminds me of communion. It's like, we know communion is not really a time for atonement. You know, in fact, the scriptures teach us before you take the bread or before you take the cup, you got to kind of work things out anyway. So it's not, this time isn't about atonement. And I think it, to a large extent, that time, even though that section of scripture talks about atonement, I think it was about closeness and about a closeness with God. So here we are. We don't just have one day a year, right? We don't have a tabernacle or a temple. Well, we have one. Jesus is God's Spirit now living in us. I mean, it's so incredible that we don't have to wait for a year, that we get to be close to God every day without a priest. Jesus, our priest, both priest and sacrifice. So it was kind of a interesting week because of, you know, because at this time we're called to remember. I mean, we're not called to repent of our sins during communion. We're called to remember Christ. And so how many times did you hear, "We'll never forget"? Right? So it brought up, like any of you all that lived in New York at the time, like Rhonda and I did, know when 9/11, it was like 20 years ago. That went fast. But, you know, I was in Mexico seeing clients. I'd flown out the night before, and my office was right across the street in World 5. It got trashed, all the beams from the towers when they fell. And I was with a very wealthy Mexican family that I worked in banking, and so I was with them. And then I got the call that one of the families that was coming to visit with me later in the week was needed to get out of New York fast. And it was a Bin Laden family. So their clients, very nice Saudi construction family. They had a bad nephew. And I was in Mexico, and Rhonda's taking the kids out of school, and everything's going crazy, and then I'm trying to get the Bin Ladens out of New York to D.C. so they'd be safe and we could get them flown home. But just all of those things going on, you know, you just remember, like, I remember it all like it was yesterday, and this weekend was like a flood back of that time. But for us as disciples, yeah, we're remembering tragedy in the sense with Jesus' death. But man, we're ingesting the body and the blood, the emblems of the body and blood, the representation of the body and blood of Christ. How personal is this? So as we take this time, just like the imperfect mingling with the perfect, as we take bread and the fruit of the vine this morning, let it be intimate. Let it mingle with you. Let's remember Christ and what he's done for us. Let's pray. God, we're just so grateful that we can come to you, that we can not just enter a place once a year or have a priest enter for us, but God, that we have direct access to you. And God, we come to you with respect and with awe. God, we know that the sacrifice of your son was painful, but it was painful with a purpose. And God, as we see our own sufferings and the things that hurt us, that when we suffer with a purpose as well. God, as we take this bread, help us to remember you. Remember your son. Remember his sacrifice. Remember the redemption that he brought for us through that sacrifice. And as we take this cup, we remember the blood that was shed on our behalf so that we could have a forever sacrifice, a forever cleansing from you, and be with you forever. God, thank you for this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.